Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we're focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Drive On podcast. Today, my guest is Jay Lee. Jay enlisted in the Navy at age 17 and served for 13 years as a special operations bomb technician. He's also the host of the Live Free series, where he helps listeners discover what it takes to overcome our own minds and turn it into our greatest asset in discovering our own freedom. So welcome to the show, Jay. Really appreciate you taking the time to come on and join me.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Scott. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, a little bit about your military career and stuff, and then we'll jump into you know, a little bit more about what you do and the kind of message you're trying to get out there with your show.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, joined the Navy when I was 17 under the delayed entry program, and so I was a junior, graduated the following year in June, and then July next month I was gone, and that was definitely for the best, because if I stuck around, I probably would have gotten some trouble, probably got kicked out of the Navy before I even joined up. I was that kid that needed the structure in his life, or otherwise it was just going to go off the rails. So yeah, that's what I did. Joined the Navy, went EOD, explosive ordnance disposal, and 13 year career is amazing. Had a lot of I was fortunate to go on be matched up to a lot of good deployments, a lot of good teams, and was able to do some good work. So very fortunate about that. And still have all my limbs, still have all my fingers. So very blessed in that regard also.
Well, especially in a job like that, it's still walking away with everything that you walked in with is pretty good.
It's a toss up.
Right. Well, you know, I was actually talking with another guest. I forget which episode it was on now, but it was in the previous episode here. And, we were talking about these EOD guys when I was in Afghanistan. We call them out. There's a local village that found some like RPG, like the rockets that get shot out of the RPGs. They said they found them on the side of a road and they didn't know what to do with them, so they called us out there. We came out to kind of investigate, and then we ended up calling out the EOD guys to come and dispose of those things. And you know, we're all looking at it like with, you know, caution. We're like approaching it really cautiously, and these guys just kind of roll up and they walk up and they're like, oh yeah, well that's cool, and they just grab it and they throw it in the back of their truck and they drive away, and we're like, what the hell just happened? Like, these guys got balls of steel just walking up to these things. So
it's all part of the allure, you know, it's all part of the allure.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, the attitude, the mindset of these guys is kind of like, you know what, I'm either right with whatever it is that I'm doing with these things, or I'm wrong and it's no longer my problem. So, you know, one way or the other, right?
Pretty much. Yes. Yes. And it comes with a lot of homework. Okay. You can't just walk up to an RPG round like that and just pick it up. You know, a lot of background knowledge for them to kind of assess that real quick and proceed.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I think, like any other professional in any other industry is, you know, they make it look easy, but there's a lot of work and dedication that goes into the procedure and the process that they go through to make it look so easy. They've practiced doing what they're doing hundreds or thousands of times to make sure that they know what they're doing, so that they don't end up walking away without all of their limbs, right?
or at all.
Yeah, that's true. So I'd like to talk to you a little bit about your show, the Live Free series. Where you got the idea for it? Was this something in your personal life that kind of triggered you to want to share this message with other people? Or, you know, what kind of sparked this show and led you to going down this road?
Well, it was, you know, it had been on my mind for a while. And in my professional coaching business, I started to, you know, as I was coaching more people and my coaching business is rooted in personal finance, I've adopted and kind of pivoted to executive leadership and communication also, because with personal finance, I mean, that is like the basic, I mean, that's the foundation of everything. And I was kind of doing a lot of work in and around the EOD community, volunteering with the military and everything like that, helping guys with budgets and gals and really just financial literacy. And then I kind of noticed through different reputations about our leaders that we had, and I kind of knew their reputation. So I had the great, I guess it was, what do you call it? And I had a good advantage because I already knew the reputations of everyone in the command, you know, around the community. And so I was doing budgets with them, and there's the leaders that are really good leaders. They're there for the men, the mission, and the command, right? Like that's why they make their decision. What is in the best interest of those three things? And then you have the leaders out there that are, and I say leaders, quote unquote, these are bosses, right? That I'm about to describe. They're in a leadership position, a leadership role. However, they're making decisions based off of how they can make themselves look good, how they can get promoted, and different accolades that they'll chase. And you know, the common conception, which I now know is a misconception, if we take the time to connect with these people that may have these perceived reputations of, oh, well, they're just kind of in it for themselves and that's all they care about, I sat down with a lot of these people and did budgets with them. And turns out, more often than not, it was the type that was, for the men, mission and the command, very solid financial background, personal finance. And it's not like they had finance degrees. They were just set up well. They had emergency funds. They were living well within their means. They were contributing regularly to retirement. And on the other side of the coin, where the bosses, right, they were making decisions based off of themselves, chasing rank, chasing awards, you know, that was the perception, but they were very overextended. And these guys were hurting because they're living paycheck to paycheck. These are senior officers that are in these positions and they're living paycheck to paycheck. And then I kind of expounded that to the civilian world. And I was taking a look at, you know, some lawyers and doctors and professions where you'd think it's like, okay, these guys are set. And that's like another common misconception around money is if I just had more money, I'd be okay. That's not the case, right? That's not the case at all. Money does not change you. It magnifies who you are. And if you are bad at managing money, if you can't manage $1,000, how can you ever expect to manage $1 million? You can't. And it's the same behaviors I see. You know, it doesn't matter if you're making $50,000 a year or $500,000 a year, you're going to make the same decisions behaviorally, just one has more zeros tacked on the end of it. So I was looking at all that and I'm like, man, these guys are like, they are not serving for a purpose. And there's, you know, in my background, my story, I wasn't serving for a purpose either, because I'm not on a soapbox up here because I was always good with money. I did stupid on steroids with money, and we can get into that later if you want. But yeah, it was a lot of bad decisions on my part. So what my position where I'm coming from is not from a position of, I'm just telling you how to do this because I'm all knowing and I just know how to win. It's I felt the pain and the hurt and I've been there and I don't want that for anyone else. And I saw that in these leaders that I was helping out. It's like, man, you're not serving your purpose. You're serving for a paycheck just like I was. And then I looked around and that was the standard. That was not the exception. I wasn't the exception. They're not the exception. It's happening at all ranks, all levels, all jobs, every branch, civilian, military, everything. It's a plague. So yeah. I was like, man, this is like, people are enslaved and we're enslaving ourselves. And so that's why I created the Live Free series. It had been on my heart, in my head. It's like, what does freedom actually mean to you? Why does it matter? What are you willing to do to get there? And a lot of people that I interview, they've already taken steps to kind of be living with their definition of freedom. So it's like, how did they overcome self-limiting beliefs and toxic mindsets and just very limiting mentalities, and how they overcame that and how they actually win and live with their definition of freedom? So yeah, I just had to get it out. And actually, we have a mutual friend, Trip Bodenheimer, who really pushed me. He's the one that I had it. And he's like, why don't you just start it? It's like, well, I got to line this up and this up. He's like, no, you don't. Just start it. I was like, just
start it. Exactly.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. So then, yeah, he gave me the push I needed.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the best way. I mean, I think with a lot of things in life, the best way to get started doing something is to just get started doing it. And, you know, you don't have to have all the pieces lined up, but some of the pieces will fall into place down the line. You know, just start doing it. Right. It's just like, you know, you're talking about finances, right? Well, you know, I can't start saving for retirement yet because of fill in the blank excuse, right? Well, just get started. You know, say putting aside $50 is better than not putting aside anything. So like, just do it.
Absolutely.
Do something. Right.
Yeah. And you hit the head. It's the excuses, you know,
yeah.
It's the excuses.
Yeah, it is. And we kind of stand in our own way with a lot of things that we are trying to accomplish in life. And I like what you were talking about, in terms of, the freedom aspect of things, how we kind of become enslaved to, our own bad decisions, right. To, you know, we're not financially free when we are living paycheck to paycheck, when we're just barely scraping by, we're not putting anything away for retirement or saving for that, you know, for emergency expenses and things like that. We're not putting anything aside, and we're living in a very constrained life in the sense that, like, we have to chase that next paycheck or chase that next promotion. That has to be what we're focused on instead of the things that we should be focused on, like you're saying, like focusing on the men, the mission, you know, things like that. Like, that is what's more important in the grand scheme of things, to be able to do your job well and make sure that things are going the right way. But then when we start focusing on our next paycheck and our next promotion, and we're not focused on those things anymore. We're focused on the wrong things, right?
Yeah, and it degrades it. It degrades our purpose. It affects us at all levels, and that's just not a good way to live. If I have a purpose, if you have a purpose, and now you are not living it, and in the military, I rose my right hand. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here. You know exactly what I'm talking about. There's just this sense of pride, right? When you are re-enlisting or if you're an officer, if you're reaffirming that oath of office, where it is just, you're raising your right hand and you are swearing this allegiance, this pledge, this oath that you are going to give a piece of you, if not everything, to a cause. And I just, when I came to the realization that I was no longer serving for that, I was sure I was there and I was doing the thing, but in my heart and in my mind, I was not present for that at all. It was totally the paycheck aspect of the house. Like, I need this paycheck. And I was so distracted, and it was detracting from everything, my relationships. I mean, my work performance, you name it, everything. Cause this was just running constantly in the background. And yeah, it's a lot, you know. And for civilians that may be listening, I equate this all the time to, you know, you don't have to be face to face with an ID. You just don't. To know what I'm talking about, to know what we're talking about, it's replace the bomb with your wife, your husband, your children, your parents, whoever you love and truly care about. If you're not paying attention because we're so distracted and concerned about if this paycheck's coming in, when is that bill due? Where did this bill come from? We're missing out. We're not focusing on what's truly important to us. And then you're not serving your mission. If you own a small business, you know, that is, I feel like the closest thing that I have found to that military mindset of, you know, I'm sacrificing myself for something else. Entrepreneurs that have a legitimate calling and a great business, and they're trying to do something for someone, and they're trying to solve problems with whatever it is they're offering, they sign up for that mission, but then I see it too often where they sign up for that mission and then they invite all the dead into the dream. And now they're not focused on their dream anymore. They're focusing on paying the bills and focusing on the bottom line and not focusing on that person or that group of people that they're trying to serve anymore. It's sad.
Is that right? Because a lot of times we start these things with good intentions, whether
the best of intentions,
right? Joining the military, starting a business. You know, we have these great ideas, these great, you know, even other relationships. You know, you get married, you have kids, so you have good intentions going into it. But then you're not focused on the right things when you're chasing the paycheck, right? When you're doing things just to get that next bill paid because you're worried about your whatever it is, your mortgage, your car payments, your whatever, the credit card bills, all that kind of stuff. And you know, we talk a lot about freedom in this country. You know, we you get a very, very patriotic with, around 4th of July and things like that, where we're talking, oh, we're free. But then we go and we put the shackles on ourselves and lock ourselves down where we're not actually as free as we thought we were. And when we talked the other day before we recorded, I never really thought of it the way that you were talking about it. I never really thought of it as not being completely free when you are saddled with debt, when you're working paycheck to paycheck, trying to just scrape by in life, right? You're not free to, you know, pick up and go take that vacation or to handle that big expense, that unexpected big expense that comes through. You're not free to do those kind of things, and you end up working to solve that problem instead of the problem that maybe you started a business for, or to serve your family or your loved ones and things like that. It's very much a limiting situation when you end up saddling yourself with all that kind of debt and just bad financial management, right?
Yeah. And it's totally self-imposed too. You know, we can have a victimization mentality, which that's what the Live Free series is all about. It's like having those mentalities, but then realizing it, becoming aware and crushing it and getting over it and getting over ourselves. That's what it's all about. And then moving forward, like making the conscious decision. It's like, this is enough and I'm going to change because that's what it's going to take. And, you know, the past couple of years, and not to disparage anyone that has, you know, lost family members in the past couple of years due to, you know, the, like COVID and everything that we've been facing. But it's a great example of freedom. And at the Live Free series and with my company, Golden Compass, freedom to me and my values and how I run the businesses is doing the things you love with the people you love when you want to, as often as you want, obviously within the constraints of the law and what is actually appropriate. But think about the families, you know, and my heart goes out to these people and their families where you're working a job, your finances are already kind of a little shaky, and then your family member gets sick somewhere, probably in a different state. You know, that's just how we live nowadays. Like everyone's spread out and you finally start working again. However, now this relative is now sick and it's taken a turn, right? It's taken a turn not for the good, but for the worse. And their time is now very limited. And, you know, doing the things you love with the people you love, it's like, I don't care how good your finances are, you're not gonna write another check when everything is on the line and the time is now ticking by the minute, or the hour, by the day. You can't write a check for 5 more minutes, you know? Maybe right. Leading up to it, you can maybe prolong it if you have time to do that, if you catch it in time, and you might be able to, I don't know. But when push comes to shove, when all the cards are laid on the table, you can't write a check for 5 more minutes with the person you love for one more hug. You can't do it. You know that. I know that. And my heart just goes out to everyone that could have, right? They could have gone and been with their family members one more time, right? But they couldn't because they had to work. They had to stay back. They had to pay the bills. And there's nothing, I'm not disparaging again, right? I'm not going to disparage those people because yes, you have to focus on what is on your house and on your household. And if you have to put food on the table for your kiddos, for your family, keep the lights on. Yes, you have to do that. But now it's, you're doing it because you have to, not because you want to. And that's the difference. And like I said, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, yes, you have to do what you got to, you got to do what you got to do with a little planning, like basic financial planning, basic financial principles. You don't need a finance degree to do the things I'm talking about. Yeah, sure. I mean, that'll help out. Great. But I know broke financial advisors because their behavior is not consistent with their values or what they're actually, their knowledge base, right? Knowing something is one thing. Doing it is a totally separate thing. You know, and we talked a little bit about the EOD guys just going up and grabbing a, you know, an RPG, right? There are so many things that we're looking at before we do that. You know, there's a shipping cap on it, right? Has it been fired? All of these things, that's going to tell you if you can pick it up or not. And as a trained EOD, you have that knowledge, right? But if I have that knowledge, if I know it's like, oh man, I see scorch marks coming out of that thing. I know it's been fired. But if I don't recognize that, or if I don't acknowledge it, and I just go ahead and move this thing that's armed, very sensitive fuse, by the way, that is inconsistent with everything I stand for by moving that as an EOD guy. And dealing with finances is the same exact thing. It's like, why am I going to spend my money and bury myself under a mountain of debt when my family lives over here? And I know if anything happens, I need to go and see them. That costs money. You know? Yeah. So if one of my values is family and I'm not setting myself, my situation up in a manner that is conducive with being able to spend time with them, that's inconsistent, but we do it all the time.
So how do we, I mean, and this is really a toxic mindset, right? To be in this situation where we are constantly doing things against our own values, right? Like you're saying, family is one of those things that's important to you. And you're doing all the things that is going to ultimately prevent you from being with family as often as possible. To me, that just seems like it's a toxic mentality. How do we go about overcoming this and kind of shifting our mindset or maybe shifting our behaviors to be able to have this freedom, this financial freedom, and not be constantly chasing the next paycheck and everything like that?
Being intentional about it, being intentional with yourself, right? Asking yourself that question, what do I actually value? That's step number one. Because if you don't say it, if you don't write it down on a piece of paper, if you just think it, it's like, well, I kind of value this right now, but in this moment, and then it's the kind of like, you know, it just withers away. But actually dedicating time and energy into outlining what you truly value. And then with your finances, make a budget. Like make a budget, use a written budget. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. You can use a notebook, like one of those little spiral notebooks. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. You know, it flips over, you take a note, right? This is how much money I have. This is how much money I can spend. It's that basic. It can be. And then if you want to be nerd out on it, like I do, break it all down, categorize it. Like you can get there eventually. Doing this takes about 3 months. You know, that is my time window. The first month, right? You're going to actually write down what you make and you're going to track your expenses the first month. What do I actually spend? You can look back at statements to get a rough idea, but now you're actually going to be intentional about tracking it. And that's the behavior thing. Because yeah, we can all go back and look at it. That's not a behavior thing. That's like that is a reactionary way to handle money. It's like you're in a crisis mode. Where did that money go? Let me go check. Now we're going to do we're going to prepare and actually plan where our money is going to go from now on. So we write down our expenses. We actually know the second month we can actually realign everything. So it's like, oh, I wrote this much for groceries when I actually spend this much. So change the number. What do you actually spend? Put it in there. And don't give yourself an unrealistic expectation. It's like, oh, well, I can live, I have a family of four, but yeah, we only spend $150 a month on groceries. Like that's totally unrealistic. Not even close. Like, yeah, right. I mean, there are some people that are like really thrifty and like the coupon crazies, but yeah, more power to you. That's not me. And that's a special type of person. And yeah, right. We need to talk if that's you. But yeah, so it's, you know, it's intentionality like that. And that's where it all starts. And that transfers to every aspect of your life. If you're that intentional about where your money's going, how much you're making, you're assigning every dollar a name, like a job. You're giving this dollar is going to this. This one is going to this. And this is where a budget gives you freedom. A lot of people hear the B word and they're like, oh, they cringe. Budget. I don't want to do that. It's so constricting. And I want to be free. I want to spend my money and live my life. Well, guess what? You're not doing that because you have no idea how much money you have. You know, a budget gives you the freedom to spend without guilt. It's like, I know I have this much money. I know these are my bills that I actually have to pay. These are all the non-essential crap that I use that I spend money on. You have the choice now to eliminate all those things that you've identified as non-essential. That's up to you, right? And then you have your fun money. Give yourself a little fun money depending on what stage of the process you're in. And yeah, that's like, so, you know, like me and my wife, we have an agreement. Like if you're married, you definitely have to have an agreement with your spouse. What is our threshold of fun money or a single transaction that I can spend without consulting you and agree, right?
Yeah.
Me and Kristen, my wife, we have, you know, it's $100. If we're spending more than $100, even $100, right? And anything more than $99.99, I'm on the phone, I'm shooting a text like, hey, this is what I'm doing. What do you think? It's okay. Just send your check. She's like, do you actually need that right now? I'm like, yeah, but no, it's really a want. And then it's just you're using them as an accountability partner as you should, right? And if you're not married, you have a friend that is actually doing the same thing that you are and sign up to be each other's accountability partners. And that's what it takes. It's that basic level, right? That's one behavior. That's one behavior modification that could change the trajectory of your life. It saved mine.
Yeah, no, for sure. And my wife and I have the same thing. We have a set amount where if whatever it is in a single transaction, if we're going to spend more than that amount, we're asking each other, is this okay? Just want to check in. Even if it's for one of those things, you know, like in the house that we know we're going to need at some point, but we just go out and we're like, okay, we just want to make sure that this is okay with you. Just so that we're on the same page. Because like you said, it's just a basic accountability where you just want to make sure that, you're not rushing off and doing that impulse buy and buying that thing that's really a want, but at the time you're like, oh, I definitely need this, right? But it really ultimately, let's be honest, most of the things that we spend our money on, it's they're for wants and not the needs.
Absolutely.
It's a part of the culture, or I don't know what it is, but a lot of times we just do that, right? But it just makes it
anything, right? Yeah. I can justify so badly how I need a new vehicle, even though mine is gone. In my head, I can justify anything, right? And that's just like you're talking about. That's the culture that we live in. It's like, I need that because they have it. And that's the thing that gets us into trouble, right? Is the comparison. And right, obviously I'm on social media. I have companies. I have to be on social media. So it is a tool to use. However, there's a huge dark side to social media. It makes keeping up with the Joneses, changing that, like, oh wait, I'm going to keep up with my neighbor over here. And it makes that a global comparison. There's no limit to keeping up with the Joneses across the globe, where it's like, oh, I don't even know this person, but they're kind of like me and they're kind of like my lifestyle and they kind of have the same thing going on, but they're spending a lot more money than me. I can do that too. And you know nothing about these people. We know nothing about these people. So where we get ourselves into trouble is when we buy stuff we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even know. Like, why? Why are we doing this? It makes no sense.
Or impress people we don't even like, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like, why are we doing this? Who cares, right? But I mean, all of this, you're talking about budgeting and stuff. it's really basic math. It's just like simple, very simple stuff. When you look at it
and subtraction, that's
exactly
it.
It's really not that difficult. You know, I have a degree in accounting, and most of accounting, like, people look at it as like, oh, you must be really good at math. It's like, yeah, I can add and subtract. Like, that's most of it. Like, it, you got money coming in, you got money coming out, and that it breaks down to pretty much that simple level of transactions. Obviously, there's some more in-depth stuff that you can get into, but sure. But when you're looking at a budget, if you make X amount of dollars a month, okay, well, then you can't spend more than that. So break out everything else accordingly. You're going to have some things that are fixed costs, that they just cost a certain amount. You know, if you, like you said before, you have a family of four, it's going to cost a certain amount to feed that family of four. If you have a mortgage or a car payment, that typically doesn't fluctuate or change over time. But if you go through this whole budgeting process and realize, oh my God, I'm spending most of my money on this mortgage, and I have pennies left over for food. Well, okay, obviously you're living in too expensive of a house, and maybe it's time to think about changing that living situation, right? And so really, like you said, just look at all the things that are coming in, your income from your job, from your business. And I know it's hard if you have a business, because a lot of times there's ebbs and flows with the financials, right? But you can take a look, if you've been in business for a year or more, you can take a look at what on average you make, right? Throughout the year, and say, okay, this is it. This is all I can really rely on is this amount of money. And that way, when you have a really good month in your business, you can put some of that money aside and invest it back in the business, or just keep it for a rainy day, or you know, keep it for those months where you're maybe not hitting that average, right? And then that frees you up, and it allows you to, like you were saying, it allows you to do the things that are important to you, that you really need to focus on in your life, your family, your community, whatever it is that is important to you. It allows you to focus on those things when you have a clear picture of the ins and outs financially of what's going on in your life.
Yeah, no, it, you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. And it's these things in our lives, right? The things they should, if you're going to devote money, if you're going to take money away from your family and put it out in the world and spend it, it should be stuff that brings you happiness and you feel like it is useful to you. It is useful to your family. It provides you with some type of security or comfort or something. If you're living in it, like in your example, that's a great example, the house, right? I know so many people that are house poor, and it's like a house should be a blessing. It should be a solace where you escape to. At the end of the day, you're done. You're shutting the door. And it's like, I'm here. If I have a family, I'm with my family. They're all here. If I'm, you know, if I'm a bachelor or bachelorette, you know, living the lifestyle, that's where you can just relax and just not have to put on a show for anyone. And that should bring you comfort. But if you are stressed about not having enough money to do everything that you want to do because you got to pay the mortgage, the rent, you're living in just way outside of your means, right? Period. And I mean, there's financial professionals across the board all agree. It's like, you shouldn't be spending more than 30% of your take home pay on rent or your mortgage. And I like to taper that down. I say, cause I like to cut deep, right? I cut deep here, people. 30% should be the total of your housing costs. So that's your rent or mortgage, all your utilities and everything associated with that, to include renter's insurance and everything, a maintenance fund if you have a house. Yeah. And so I like to keep that number at 30% total. So really you're looking at 20% for your mortgage or your rent. That way you free up that extra 10 to have stuff to pay for the things that light your house up, that gives you water, stuff like that. Right. And that's just living well within your means.
Yeah. And there's nothing that says that you can't upgrade that situation as your life situation improves, exactly. as you get that promotion, as you start making more money, you're not like shackled to this house or to this apartment or wherever you're living. You're not shackled to it. You now have the freedom, right? And going back to that word, I love that part of it. You have the freedom to now choose to move to a bigger house or to, maybe a nicer neighborhood or whatever. You can do that. And now you're not stressed about how am I going to pay the rent? How am I going to cover these expenses? How am I going to, if you own a house, how am I going to fix the water heater or the furnace or whatever when those things go out? Because I'm scraping by just paycheck to paycheck, and I don't have the, maybe a couple $1,000s set aside when some major home improvement project comes up where not even improvement, just a maintenance project comes up where you need to replace something. Otherwise, your house isn't working the right way, right? It doesn't make sense. But one of the things that you mentioned
a 25 cent washer, right, on a toilet goes out, and then your bathroom's flooded, and now you have water leaking through your ceiling. This is a scenario that happened to me. I should have just changed the washer, but I didn't. Right, I wasn't intentional about that. I ignored it, and it bit me real big. But you know what? We had the funds. I just ripped the whole ceiling. I was like, we're just gonna redo it, and boom, we have this maintenance fund for a reason, and we're going to cash it out now and put in some new lights and do the whole thing and make it look nice. But that was totally my fault, and it was all because of a 25 cent washer. Now, that was an inconvenience for us. If we didn't have those funds, that would have been an all-out emergency, and that would have been super, it was already stressful as it was because we had water leaking from our ceiling where there shouldn't be, and it was not an all-out catastrophe, right? It was an inconvenience, a big one. I'm not going to say it was a minor inconvenience because, it was bad. Our whole second floor ceiling was just, it was bad. It was that freedom of, I'm going to rip the ceiling out. My friend's a contractor. We're going to get some plans together. Where do you want the lights? Pick out some stuff. And it was fun for my wife and I, we got to pick out some new stuff. Then we went on vacation. I'm like, hey, we're going to go on vacation. We got a week. We're just going to go on vacation for a week while this gets redone. We're not worried about staying in a hotel, staying like away, being or living in this crazy situation that is not healthy to live in. There's water damage. It was like, you don't want kids in this situation. My son thought it was awesome because you could see the joys for the next floor. It was the freedom to update a little bit. Granted, it was not our initial plan, but we have the freedom to do that. And when I was not good with money, that would have still been like that for months. I would have ripped the ceiling out, get all the water, and it would have been dry, but it would have been bare studs and like the joist exposed for probably months. Yeah. If not a couple of years.
Because at that point, then you're reacting to the situation. If you're in that financial situation where it's not the best financial situation, where you don't have that emergency fund set aside for maintenance projects or things like that, but then you're like, okay, what is this going to cost me now? And now I have to scrape by and figure out how I'm going to come up with this money. And it doesn't make sense to do that. If you could just put a little bit aside, live within your means, a little bit aside each month, or each paycheck or whatever the situation is. And then you have a little bit of money, stacked away for these unexpected things when they do pop up. It's kind of like, when you get a paycheck, you get the taxes taken out of the paycheck. Before it even hits your account, your bank account, the taxes are gone. So it's like money that you don't even miss because it never was there to begin with in your bank account, right? So I always think of it this way, like if you were to do that with your paycheck, and I have in my bank account, every pay period, whenever money comes into the account, I have it automatically send a certain amount of money to my savings so that I have some money from that just put away, and I don't touch the savings until that thing that I'm saving up for, or those unexpected expenses, until that those things come up, and then I dip into the savings for those types of things. But otherwise, I try to stay away from savings altogether, and just leave that money so that when I need it, it's there, and I have that cushion to fall back on. And I never notice that the money's gone because it never was in the account to begin with. It just went away to another account that I don't look at too often. You know, I don't like focus like so intently on it. It wasn't there. It's just like the way I think of the taxes that come out of a paycheck. It never was there to begin with. So you don't miss it quite as much. And you learn to live within those means, with that reduced amount of income. But you're putting some of that money aside for those bigger unexpected type things.
Yeah, absolutely. You gotta pay yourself first. And that's what it takes. You know, that's a huge behavioral aspect of money, is paying yourself first, just like you're doing. And that's just an uncommon, right? That's common sense, totally common sense, right? But yeah. It is not common practice by any means. Right. And that's where I'm on mission, right? And Scott, you are too now. We gotta eradicate this. Okay. We gotta turn it around. Everyone just save your money. Okay. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you put it in a good way there. You have to pay yourself first. If all you're doing is going to work just to pay somebody else, like, for the things that you get in your life, that you go out and buy, that the frivolous spending on nonsense stuff that you don't, it's just the wants, that not the needs. If you're going out and doing that, you're really working for somebody else. And that doesn't really sound all that freeing to me, right? That sounds like it's you're pretty locked down at that point.
Those are your masters. Those are your masters. The people that you're paying are your masters 100%. Yeah. It's like a friend of mine, Brian Bullock, he wrote a book about living for legacy. And man, I heard him. I heard this talk. He gave this talk. It's amazing. I think it's like a YouTube video too. And he just talks about that, right? It's like he did a bunch of research on different companies and which companies were last names. And there's a lot of them, like down at Welch's Grape Juice, right? Welch is someone's name. Okay. That's someone's family name. Wells Fargo, that's someone's name. Rolls Royce, that's someone's name, and so on and so forth. He's like, so many people always complain about not being wealthy, not having generational wealth, but yet he takes a look at them. It's like, you're paying so many other people your money instead of investing in your last name. And I borrowed that from him. It's like, I use that all the time. I was like, man, I'm taking that. That's gold. But yeah, he's so right. And I have adopted that into my own practice of like, you have to invest in your last name. What do you value? How do you define freedom? How are you investing in your last name? How are you creating a legacy for yourself? You know, it's like, there's a reason why there are humongous towers with people's names on them. It's because they were dedicated and intentional about making their family money. That's why. And again, money doesn't change who you are. It's not evil. It's a tool. We're here to manage what is given to us. And that is money. And if you're a generous person and you're making a little bit, and then you come into a lot of money, you're not going to turn into a selfish person. That is going to magnify your generosity. Now, if you are a selfish person who makes a little bit of money and you come into a large amount of money, you're going to be selfish. And I guarantee that's going to be gone. Look at lottery winners, like the average. They typically, the most lottery tickets are sold in poor neighborhoods or underserved neighborhoods. And then they come into some money and then it's gone. And that's it. They had a chance to invest in their last names, but they don't, because it's behavior. It has nothing to do with the amount of money that you have. It's all about behavior, and good behavior over time, and making consistent choices with your values. That is what it takes to win with money, no matter how much you make. Because if you're doing that and you make a little bit, guess what? You're going to do that for a couple of years, and then you're going to make more money. And then you're going to keep making more money, and you're going to keep making more. You're going to level up because you're that type of person now that is doing that. And you're making intentional decisions for yourself, which is going to go to every part of your life, every part.
Yeah, for sure. One thing that you mentioned earlier, and I wanted to touch on this, because you said it kind of quickly, and I wanted to go back to it, but you said, that you're, when you have this money, set aside, you can buy the things, you can get the things that bring happiness. But, one of the things I wanted to emphasize there is it brings happiness for, your life, your purpose, your goals in life. And it's not that short-term, happiness that you get when you get that shiny object, right? It's not that, oh, let me go get that new thing, that next new best technology or toy or, you know, whatever the thing is that it is that you're going to get. You get that, and it gives you happiness for, I don't know, a few minutes, a couple hours, a day or two, maybe. And then it's gone. And then you're chasing that next thing, right? So that's not, I don't think that's true happiness. That's just chasing the next thing. And so yeah. I want to make sure that we looked at that and just said, you know, going out and getting the latest, whatever the thing is, the latest iPhone or whatever.
Yeah, we can use the latest iPhone, the latest Android, whichever, the latest MacBook, whatever the case may be. You're absolutely right. You know, it's how does that serve you and your purpose and your values? You know, it's like,
right.
If you have a computer that's falling apart, yes, upgrade. 100% upgrade your computer, for the love of God, please do that so you can stay connected with the people you love. However, right. Don't bury yourself into debt getting the top of the line thing when you just had something that was duct taped together, unless you have the money to do that. And it's all percentages. Right. Like, what percentage this computer costs X, right? I make this much money. What percentage of my take home pay is this thing? Right. Well, this next thing that is half the cost, right? Way more manageable for my finances and my picture. Does it serve me and my values and my needs? Yes. It makes me, it allows me to stay connected with family. It's easy to use. You know, I'm not a computer whiz. I need something that's intuitive. Boom. There you go. I don't need a PhD to operate this thing. And yeah, there you go. I'm not buying the top of the line model of anything. You know, I'm just not. Because it's a waste of money, in my opinion. You know, that might not be a waste of money, in your opinion. And I'm not saying don't spend the money on the nice things, but just have a plan. Don't bury yourself in the mountains of debt because you think that's going to make you happy, because it's going to make you happy for 5 minutes until you walk out of the store. And then you hear a commercial on the way home. And it's like, oh, the newer and better thing that you just bought is now obsolete because of this great new one. You know, it's that short-lived. And it's if you're chasing that new shiny, oh, I got to get this, you know, that's what it's going to be. Like, get the stuff that actually serves you and serves your values, and it's within your means.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because that's why I think I use technology as an example, because it's just like what you said. You can go out to the store, you can buy the latest and greatest thing, and it's almost as if you're driving home from the store with that thing. You're still on that high of, oh, I have this thing. I can't wait to get home and start using it and all that kind of stuff. You're on the way home, and then you start hearing about the next thing that's going to replace this. And it's like, well, now it's a letdown. Now it's not even happiness. It's just like, oh man, I just wasted all this money on this thing when I could have gotten that other thing that's this much better. Buyer's remorse is real. Yeah. You get the thing, and then you're like, what the hell did I do? Why did I spend that money on this thing? Right.
And I've been there, you know, it sucks.
I think we've all done it. And that's the thing is we've gone out, we've done these things. I don't think there's anyone who's listening to this who doesn't get it, who can't think of a time when they were like, you know what? Yeah, I did that too. I've spent more money than I should have on something that I didn't need or whatever. I just wanted it because I thought it was going to make me feel good. Thought it might give me some extra status points with the neighbors or coworkers or whoever.
With the ladies, with the fellas,
with,
you know,
with the ladies. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You're getting the fancy car so you can go out to the club and, you know, turn some heads and whatever. Like, okay. Like, I don't know. I'm nearing 40. So that's not me. That's not my, I'm driving around an 8-year-old minivan. So, you know, but it still works, right? Exactly. It still works. It still gets us from point A to point B. It's not like it's a, you know, duct tape together or anything. It's still kicking around. So I'm going to keep using it. And I, when I bought that car, my wife and I bought it, we went out and I said, I'm going to drive this thing until I can't drive it anymore. And then we'll worry about the next car then. But, you know, it's been awesome for the last few years, not having car payments or anything like that. Like I now have that much money that I used to be spending on a monthly basis for this car that I can do whatever I want with, you know, or I could just put it aside for, like you said, paying yourself. And it is freeing because now you have that expense that you're not spending on somebody else. You're investing it back in yourself. And that is truly freeing when you're finally able to do something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Jay, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. I think I could probably geek out on this for quite a while, this topic. And, but I want to give you the chance to let people know where they can check out your show and get in touch with you for you know, some financial resources that you may offer so that they can get on that path to financial freedom and living a much more free life than what they have been doing. So where can we go to listen to your show and get in touch with you?
Livefreeseries.com. That's where you can listen to the show, however you want to listen to it. And I'm on LinkedIn. You can follow me. You can connect with me. I'm always up for connection. And that is, I'm on LinkedIn. Just Jay Lee, my name, JAYLY. And my Instagram, GC Financial Freedom. That's Golden Compass, right? The GC Financial Freedom. And then the show has an Instagram also at the Live Free Series. And yeah, if you know, since we're on the Drive On podcast, just send me an email, info at goldencompassllc.com with Drive On in the subject line. So I know where you came from. So I know where you heard, and reach out to me for more info. We can connect. I offer everyone a free consultation. So no matter what your scenario is, no matter what your situation, no matter what you're facing, I at least offer a complimentary consultation to equip you with some tools, even if you don't think that coaching is right for you, right? Because coaching has to be right for you. I don't want to coach you, honestly, if you're not ready to be coached. So if you're ready to be coached and you want and you're ready to grow, then yes, absolutely, coaching is right for you, but it has to be right. And I'm not going to blow smoke here. But yeah, send me a line, info@goldencompassllc.com. With Drive On in the subject line, and I'll get you some tools on how to win right now.
Excellent. And I'll have links to all of this in the show notes. So anyone who's looking to get in touch with Jay can reach out and get on the right track with your finances. Check out his show. And again, we'll have links to that in the show notes as well. Check out his show because I'm sure there are some great resources that he's sharing that can help you out in your life and some stories from some of his guests who will hopefully change your mindset in terms of how you approach your own finances in your life. So thank you again, Jay, for joining me. I look forward to chatting with you again. We're gonna try to set up a time to get on your podcast as well. But you know, I'm looking forward to chatting with you and seeing the great things that you're doing in people's lives. So thanks again.
Hey, thank you for having me, Scott. It was had a blast out here. And yeah, absolutely. You're going to be on my show next.
Awesome. All right. Thanks again. Thanks for listening to the Drive On podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Drive On Podcast.